In episode 157,
as she turned me around, and I got emotional and I got teary-eyed and I almost started crying because I'm like, that's it. That's Jasmine. That's who I've been looking for since I first did this. My cousin outed me to my family. He saw pictures of me and my girl on Facebook and then went through and found her dad pictures on Facebook. And he started going around telling my family about me. And it's funny because I told my mom literally a day before, we don't get enough representation in this culture, like in this lifestyle. I mean, let's be real. When you turn on a crossdresser.com or anything like that, it's all white or Hispanic and Asian.
Welcome to the Cross Yas podcast, the podcast that says yas to crossdressing, gender, and sexuality. That was Jasmine Chase, a wonderful crossdresser who I had a fantastic curious convo with a couple weeks back. We talked for quite a while, so this will for sure be split up into two parts. So stay tuned for part two next week. One of the things we talked about that really struck a chord with me was representation. And I've been thinking about that for quite a bit the last few weeks, or couple weeks, or however long it's been. And about how important representation is and how much it matters. Jasmine's story and all the previous guests have, you know, really helped so many people out, including myself. I love that I can be a part of getting y'all stories out there. And if you'd like to share your story, please, please, please reach out to the Cross Yas podcast. You can find us on the crossyaspodcast.com or the Cross Yas Instagram or the Curious Confidential Discord server, which can be found on the Cross Yas website. We'd love to hear it, and so would the other listeners. This podcast is literally made possible by listeners like you, and I don't think it would be where it's at today if y'all weren't willing to contribute and let your stories be known. So anyway, here's the rest of part one of Jasmine Chase's Curious
Yes.
Cross Yes Podcast with Giselle Mirasol
and Billy.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the Cross Yas Podcast. I'm your host, Billy. Today we have a special guest named Jasmine, who is we found on Instagram, and that's where I know you from. If you'd like to introduce yourself, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jasmine Chase. I've been doing this since I was a kid, I guess, but more seriously within the past 4 years because of my wife. So about 4 years now, seriously, like doing my own makeup and yeah, just been doing it since then. It's funny, I kind of dived into this right when I met my wife as, you know, a little kinky fun play. And then next thing I know, here.
Fun. How did you introduce it to your wife?
Honestly, so I always knew I was a little bit different since I was a kid. And also with the thing is messed. Being a young black man in, you know, the urban area from Chicago, you know, you are set to a certain standard of what you're supposed to be. So I always knew I was a little bit different. The first time I ever saw like drag queens was, I was watching an episode of Ricky Lake, and it was really interesting to me. But I remember being a kid younger than that, I used to put them on my family member's heels, and I would walk around the house with them on, pretend I was Wonder Woman because that was one of my favorite shows. So then as I was growing up more, I saw the Ricky Lake show. It intrigued me. I just thought it was really interesting that these women were coming off like gorgeous. So one day, me and the wife would joke, I don't know how we got into it. She's like, I'm going to put you in makeup. Like, okay. And she's like, and we're going to have fun. Okay. And the next thing I know, that's how I really started. And then when I did it, I realized that I enjoyed it a little bit more than I thought I would, and it just left from there.
Okay. So she's like, oh, let's gonna do your makeup. And you're like, hey, you're going to really have to twist my arm real hard for that one.
Exactly.
Dang. And so what was, I'm assuming you maybe seemed like you liked it more than maybe she thought. I'm just assuming.
I don't know. It was just more of a, I liked it and I said, I want to do it again. But, you know, she's not a makeup artist and I didn't, when she did my makeup, I didn't see, and it was kind of crazy. Like when she did my makeup, I thought it was cool, but like something was missing. And I didn't understand it until later on in life.
How long ago was that?
Fuck. About 14 years ago.
Oh, dang. That's a long time. Okay, cool. So you've been pretty open with your wife since 14 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. And she's, I'm assuming, supportive and stuff, right?
Huh. She's, she just said, be yourself. Oh, no, I just dropped something.
Uh-oh.
It's one of those days. Yeah, she told me to be myself, and it doesn't matter what people think of you, just be yourself.
Well, I think you're awesome, and you're definitely beautiful.
Thank you.
I always see all your pictures on Instagram, and I'm blown away all the time.
Thank you. A lot of practice. Excuse me, 1 second. I just got to grab something. That old saying, practice makes perfect. I literally was practicing possibly almost every weekend for like 3 years straight. Just kept getting in the mirror, just kept looking at my makeup and seeing what else I could do different and what would make me look different. And then of course I have a great group of friends who also gave me tips here and there, and my really good friend Miranda, she's check her out on Instagram, her drag is great. She first taught me how to do makeup, and that kind of leads into what I was talking about earlier. So when she showed me how she did her makeup, she was like, do you want me to do yours? I said, yeah. So she did my makeup. And I didn't look at the mirror because I just wanted to be surprised. And this was about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. I just wanted to be surprised. I didn't want to ruin it. So she like, okay, are you ready? Yeah, she turned me around. And I got emotional and I got teary-eyed. And I almost started crying because I'm like, that's it. That's Jasmine. That's who I've been looking for since I first did this.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, please teach me. And she's like, yeah. And then she just, and we went from there.
Dang, that's cool. That's got to be like, I don't know. I in my mind, I equate it to like when I was wearing wigs. Like, but the wig for me was like the wow factor. So I can only imagine, you know, just having your makeup done and just turning around and just, I don't know, I kind of like, I think of those like old TV shows when they do makeovers and stuff and they don't let them see until the end.
That's yeah, pretty cool. It was, that's exactly how it was. And it's funny, like my wow factor now is when I finally put the eyelashes on and the lipstick. That's my wow factor now. Because, I mean, I'm doing it, so I have nothing to surprise me.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't do the eyelashes, but definitely the lipstick.
You know what? Believe it or not, eyelashes make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And my girl Sasha, she's a big time drag queen in New York. Everybody check her out on Instagram, please. She's like, when I was doing my makeup, she's like, girl, I'm sending you eyelashes. I'm like, I don't want to put on eyelashes. She's like, you're putting on eyelashes. So she sent me like a box full of eyelashes. And she's like, just play with them, work with them, because I could never put them on because I didn't understand. Nobody didn't tell me that I had to wait for the glue to dry a little bit. That was always. Mm. And then once I learned that, I was like, oh, eyelashes do make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried putting like fake eyelashes on a few times and it was not a good thing. It was, oh my gosh. It was, I think an eyelash ended up on my cheek somehow.
Yep.
It was bad. So I don't bother. My eyelashes are pretty long. You probably can't think of, you know, image or whatever, but pretty good. But when I put like makeup on, it definitely helps.
It does.
Oh my gosh, it's so hot here. We're in this heat wave in California. It's like 105 degrees right now.
So I don't go out as much in the summertime because of the heat. Like, as soon as I look at the sun, my face melts.
Uh-oh. I've been there. The other problem, like, if you're, like, putting makeup on, you start sweating and sweating and sweating.
Yeah, I had that couple years ago. So I went to go see one of my couple years ago. I'm still seeing. It's a trans couple, and then we went out there, and both Josie and Nat. And if you ever want to see a muscle Barbie, please go to Josie's Instagram. Oh,
what's her?
Josie, I'll pull up her actual Instagram, but she's freaking amazing.
You'll have to share their Instagrams later.
I will. Anyway, so I went out there, and everything was fine. So I was doing my makeup, and the room that we were in was good. The AC was working. Mind you, we're in Tennessee, late June. Humidity there in Tennessee is,
you're like swimming, probably. I'm sure.
All right, so I had the AC on blast in my room, so everything was fine. Next thing you know, the AC goes out.
Oh no.
And I didn't have my fan. I usually take like a portable fan with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That didn't work out so much.
Dang.
So next thing I know, I'm in the bathroom. Everything's fine. Like, but next thing you know, like, all it does is take one thing of sweat to start. And the rest of my body's like, oh God, we all need to sweat. And then I'm walking around doing this. I'm in front of the AC, like, taking all the air I can in. I mean, the makeup came out decent, but it could have been so much more better if I had AC.
Yeah, I have that problem. I'm getting like laser and stuff on my face, but it's still like around my mustache and I guess like, I don't know, goatee or handlebar area or whatever. Like, it's still kind of dark there. So like, if I put makeup, if I do like foundation and stuff, it starts like getting really sweaty there, and it definitely like comes through real bad. But I don't know. I kind of like my complexion anyway. So
you're gorgeous.
I don't know. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So you have a lot of trans and drag queen friends?
I have trans, drag queen, cross dressers. Like, in a way, I mean, cross dressers pretty much to me falls on the umbrella of trans to me. And I mean, I've sat down and talked to my therapist about this, because I was actually scared, like, oh God, am I trans? What's going on? You know, she was like, you're already doing that, so you're already falling under that umbrella. And I was like, oh, okay, well, all right. But yeah, I have friends who are trans, cross dressers, and drag queens, and believe it or not, I mean, if you met some of them, I mean, you wouldn't even know. Like, they're so gorgeous, it's ridiculous. Like, Frank Candace, you know, Chanel, like, these girls, like, kill it. Just kill it. So, yeah, I have a big support system.
That's great. That's great to have that support. Where did you meet all these friends?
Kick, Instagram, majority Instagram, I think. Oh, and FetLife.
Okay, I hear that one always comes up.
Yeah, well, you got to say, FetLife was before we, like, for me, I was always on FetLife. Like, my profile was on FetLife. And then one day, somebody was like, why don't you just post your pic on Instagram? I'm like, And I said, forget it. I'll just do it. And then from there, from Instagram, I just started meeting all these people.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So you're pretty open about yourself, and do you go out much?
Not as much as I want to, only because I'm out, but I'm not out, if you want to say. Because my profession and what I do, I kind of, you know, a lot of people know me, and I kind of stand out in the crowd. Like, certain family members know, my friends know, my brother knows. So that helps out a lot.
Okay. How was that with your family? Like, did you have to come out to them, or did they like find out, or?
Well, my family doesn't know about this. Like, I have cousins that know about this, but not like uncles and aunts and stuff like that. My mom always had a inkling, maybe. I used to do things around her when I was a child that she would question me on. So I had an idea of what I really was. And I mean,
like what?
Certain things happened when I was a child. And my mom was like, do you want to be a girl? Do you want? I'm like, no, I'm a boy. You know, so it was one of those situations.
Okay.
She caught me with a few things, and she questioned me. I was like 13 at the time. And that was pretty interesting.
Cool. And she's, so she knows now. Is she supportive, accepting?
Well, you can say she knows now, cause she passed away like 2 years ago.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. And I honestly, I think my mom would still been supportive no matter what.
Yeah, my mom just passed away a year ago, like four days ago, a year ago.
So my condolences.
That's hard. I my condolences for real. It's really sad.
It's rough. Losing your, like, my dad is still alive. And he was real sick at one point, and I thought he was going to go. And that didn't bother me as much as my mom dying. Like, with your mom, and there's nothing about, like, I love my dad to death. But, like, your mom, that's a different feeling when you lose a mother.
How so?
You feel like your safety net is gone. Like that, you know, if something goes wrong, you can always turn around and go to your mother, and that's completely gone. And that is it's one of those. And besides that, like the food, the desserts, my mom made the best chocolate chip cookies. My mom made the best chicken noodle soup, oxtail soup, ham and bean soup. So these are things that you don't have no more that will bring you comfort, and it's gone, and it sucks.
Dang. Yeah, I get that. Like for me, my dad passed in 2016, so he's been gone for a while. So that for me, like his passing definitely like messed me up a lot more than my mom's. But you know, he also didn't know about me. I never told him. So for me, like that's a huge regret. My mom knew, and you know, it wasn't. She didn't take it well. I think there was a lot of like, I don't know. I feel like she was definitely a lot of grieving for like the loss of her son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when my mom found out I was pansexual, because I came out to her that, you know, I was dating a trans woman at the time.
Okay.
And because my wife and I are poly, so
okay.
I was dating my wife, I mean, my girl at the time, me and her have a very interesting situational ship right now. So, me and her have been off and on for like 8 years. But anyway, but my cousin outed me to my family. You saw pictures of me and my girl on Facebook, and then went through and found her dad pictures on Facebook. And he started going around telling my family about me. And it's funny because I told my mom literally a day before she found out from my family. So she thought I was setting her up. She called me all kinds of names, and it hurt, but I knew why she was doing it. So anytime my mom is hurt, she lashes out. And the way she lashes out is she was hurt because I didn't tell her first. She felt that I could have told her anything because we had a great relationship, and I could have told her. And I was kind of like, your mom.
Yeah. Mom, you don't need to know every single thing.
Yeah. That's my mom.
Dang. How was that? How was it dating a trans woman?
like dating a woman.
Or yeah, okay.
It's honestly
good answer.
Like, dating a woman is nothing different. The only thing is different, honestly. Nothing. It's really just dating a woman. It's, you know, and that's what, you know, I wish people understand that, like, a trans woman is a woman. Like, once, even like, it's crazy how people think because you're trans, things have to be done differently. No, you just treat them like a woman. You open the doors for them, walk on the outside of the sidewalk. You know, pull out the seat for them. You know, it's, you treat them like a woman. And it was like a regular relationship, nothing different.
That's a good answer. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I get kudos from certain people for that.
So you're in a poly relationship.
Yes.
Right. How does that work out with your wife?
Yes. My wife and I, we've been poly since we met. That's 16 years ago. And at first it was just dating other women. But then I came out to her saying, hey, I like trans women. And this, at the time, this was when people were still learning more about trans women. So you trans were trans and women were women. You know, it wasn't, we're still learning. It's these new things. And, you know, and my wife was like, okay, you could have told me that a long time ago. And, you know, then we started dating trans women, cis women. And then I had my first experience with a guy, probably like the third or fourth year being with each other, or fifth, I can't remember. It was like 2012. So anyway, it was about four years. And then I realized, well, maybe I'm bi. But then that's when the whole term pansexual came out, because I realized I'm attracted to people that turn me on, not just physically, but mentally as well.
Okay. How was that dating, or I guess dating, going out with a man? How was that?
Well, the men I've dated have been more androgynous. And actually, you know, some, like, people think they are women. And they're men. So I don't, in male form, I don't really date men, you know, the quintessential way. But I date more the androgynous woman. Or men, I'm sorry. But as Jasmine, for some reason I'm attracted to actual more masculine men. It's crazy. Like, as soon as all the makeup goes on, the boobs go on, the hair is on, for some reason I'm attracted to more masculine men.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's like a switch or something kicks on, and it was like, oh, hey.
What about men attract, like, I guess, yeah, what about men attract you?
I don't know. Maybe the muscle. Maybe that's it. And the thing is, I try to put Jasmine into the dating world. And of course, you know, men being men, you know, men just, I could not believe my inbox of what men send to women. And one day I asked my wife, I was like, is this what men send to you? And she's like, yes, all the time. I was like, wow. And so because of that, that kind of made me kind of back off. But what attracts me is, like, have a conversation. Like, and the thing is, if men forget that when the makeup comes off, the wig comes off, I'm back to my regular form. And I know how to treat a woman. And so I expect that from a man who's trying to court me. You know, of course, you know, they think that I get dressed up for, you know, sexual reasons. It's not for sexual reasons. When I first did it, it was. Like, the first 2 months, it was. And then I realized Jasmine is actually another part of me that, where I don't have to take hormones. I don't have to, you know, get body done or anything. I could actually get dressed up and be Jasmine and then switch and go back to my male form anytime I want to. And so men don't understand, like, the stuff they say to me, I'm like, I've said that. Try something better. You know, so if you have a conversation, that's what attracts me.
Okay, okay.
And like the gym, I'm a gym. I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of like a gym person.
I know you're ripped, you're buffed.
So I kind of like gym kind of guys.
No, I think it's cool. How often do you go to the gym?
On a good week, 5 times a week. On a bad week, 3.
Oh, dang. That's like 3 to 5 times more than I go. I used to go like maybe 3 or 4 times a week a few years ago. And then I just kind of, life happened and I kind of drifted away from it.
It's like, I have a certain image I want to keep. So that's what motivates me to go to the gym. I hate manual labor. That's why I actually don't like the gym. People are like, you don't like the gym? No, I don't like lifting things. Who the fuck wants to lift things? What's the word for when people like pain? What's the word?
Yeah, I think so. Masochism, yes. I think.
You have to be. A small form of you have to be that. To say, hey, I'm going to go somewhere where I lift things to hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. Literally tear apart your muscles.
You're literally tearing apart small fibers in your muscles as you're lifting to make them grow. It sucks.
What kind of workouts do you typically do? Like squats, bench press? I don't know.
I mean, I have a routine. Like Mondays is chest and tries days. Tuesdays is back and by. Wednesdays is leg day. Thursday, I take off. Friday, I do like arms. And Saturday, I do legs again.
Okay. So you do legs quite a bit then.
Well, I mean, you want your butt to look nice, right?
That's true.
See, okay. I like women who work out, but you know, the women that do the BBL, there's nothing wrong with BBL. I think BBL is awesome. It's great, has tau technology, has sent us into the stratosphere where you can do anything to your body. Women, just do squats. That's all you need to do. Go to the gym and do squats. That's it. Or lunges. Well, look with lunges and leg press. It's a bunch of stuff you got to do.
I should probably do more squats.
I promise you, if you stuck to a routine of just like a good leg routine, you'll be surprised how big your legs will get within 6 months.
Okay.
And eat food.
I don't have a problem eating. But yes, working out. I get a lot of, my job's really physical, so I get a lot of physical activity from there. But I mean, I could definitely use some squats or something, because
yeah,
I can only rely on the hormones so much.
So yeah, do your squats with the hormones. Oh, see, the thing is, I know if I took hormones, I know my genetics. I already have hips, and I already have thighs, and I already have ass. Like, it's there. I can't help it. It's there. That's literally genetics. I have my legs, genetics. So I know if I would take hormones, like those are the first thing to go.
Dang, I wish. Yeah, I should probably get on that then, because that's
a huge difference.
I would love it. I would love to have some just big hips, big thighs, big butt. I think my thighs are pretty big already, but maybe a little more toned. I don't know.
Trust me, if you just do a good leg workout, you'll see a huge difference.
Okay. Do you have any like recommendations on that?
I got a list of stuff I can email you or message you.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that, because I know my lower half could use some work.
I bet she looked gorgeous.
So you've been going to the gym for a long time, like most of your life, or?
I've always been athletic my whole life. But I just recently started really hitting the gym like 8 years ago. So that's where I'm at. And it's funny, like when I first started doing this, I would wear clothes that hid my masculine arms. And because I'm like, that's not a lady. Like in my head, petite, you know, or thick, but not muscle. Then one day I realized I've been known to date a lot of female bodybuilders. And so on Instagram, like those, that's it. Fit women. Like those are one of the bigger, you know, things. And I'm just kind of like, why do I have my arms when I get dressed? Like all you, if I showed you my closet of the clothes I was buying, it was all sleeves. Like everything had sleeves. And then one day I was like, no, why do I have to conform to what people think a woman should look like?
I think it's cool that you're so out there with your arms and stuff. I think that's cool.
Thank you. I thought that, you know, let me, if I'm going to be different, show the arms, show the muscles, show that it's okay to be a beautiful woman with big arms.
I think it's cool. That's a good, sounds like you have a really good, I guess, mental thought, or I don't know, I can't think of the word, but you have a good, maybe psyche about it, I guess.
Thank you. It's more just like, I just got into a point in my life where people should just be who they want to be. If you want to put makeup on and then throw in a regular suit and you're a guy and want to wear heels, you can. If you're a woman and you want to wear men's clothing and paint on a mustache and your lips, you should be able to do that. If, hell, there's people who walk around with diapers on because they want to. Okay, who cares? As long as they ain't hurting you, who gives a fuck? Let them live their life.
Giselle did an interview with someone that was a adult baby diaper lover.
Yeah, let them. Who cares? That's not your thing. That's not your thing. You just move on. You ain't gotta. You ain't gotta like harp on it or, you know, figure out how to make them miserable because you're uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. Fuck you. So I just literally got to that point. I was just kind of like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this all the way. I'm going to have fun with it. And yeah, and that's why you see the way I am.
That's cool. Was that getting to that point of, I guess not, I don't want to say ashamed, but not being ashamed of like hiding your arms, was that like a really long process for you, or was that pretty quick?
I still have moments where I'm, I don't know what to say. I still have moments where I'm uncomfortable with dressing up as Jasmine because a lot of people look at, in my male persona, a lot of people look up to me. So in my head, I have this thing where I have to stay a certain image. And so when I switch over to Jasmine, you know, I'm happy. I still have a feeling like I get this feeling like this is not what I'm supposed to do. But then at the same time, like, it makes me happy. Like, literally, I have to make a day or two to do this. If I don't, I'm like miserable.
Maybe might be a good idea to try to think about, in my mind, I'm thinking about like your young self, like watching, he said Ricky Lake or Jenny Jones or, you know, one of those talk shows, because same. It'd be good, like, representation for those younger kids that are like, oh shit, someone can do this. They can be out presenting as themselves or feminine or and have big arms and you know, I think that's super cool. I maybe even have that.
I think
aspect.
I do it more for like black men who are in my situation, because I know a lot of black men who are gorgeous. Like, when they get dressed, I mean, you wouldn't know. I mean, drop dead. Ugh. So, but a lot of us are in the closet. We have to be because of our the culture that we come from. And I think I try to do a more to show, like, black men who want to be out there, who want to do these things. I think that's one of the reasons why I do it. I think that's one of the reasons why I post. I think one time you made a long post about it. I'm talking about, like, we don't get enough representation in this culture, like, in this lifestyle. I mean, let's be real. When you turn on a crossdresser.com or anything like that, it's all white or Hispanic and Asian. Mm-hmm. You never see black women, ever. Like, you may get one or two here and there, but even when you go to certain Instagram sites and everything, it's all white, Hispanic, or Asian. And it's just kind of frustrating, because if this image is not out there, then there's a lot of black people who are suffering from the mental weight from it, that the mental heaviness from that, they can't be who they are, and they're scared to do it, and they just need that one representation of, oh, I'm going to do what she does, and then the ball start rolling. But at the same time, we need people to actually say, hey, let me put her picture up. And you rarely see that. I mean, I know women like me, black, who have gone on certain websites that's committed to cross-dressing, and they say, we're having a competition for this month of Girl of the Month. And it's every month, it's another Hispanic or white. And I know a lot of black people put in for it, and they never get it.
That's sad. I think it definitely need more representation out there. And I think it's great that you're putting your story out here, too, because it's representation here. And representation for sure fucking matters.
Yeah, it does. Black crossdressers matter.
Yeah, they do.
But at the same time, I mean, we don't get backup from our own culture, too. So you have one side that says, hey, you're a freak. From my own culture, something's wrong with you. And then you have from another side who goes, you're black. So it's kind of messed up. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of, you know, Instagram sites that put my pic up. There's a lot that they'll put up black women's pics. There are websites that have presented black women like us. But to me, it's not enough. And I think also let me put this out there too. There's not enough of us that's putting it out there because we're scared. And I get it.
I get it.
Like this, I was when we first talked about doing the podcast, I didn't know if I wanted to do the podcast. I was kind of like, eh. And then, you know, I told my wife, like, hey, you know, they want to do a podcast. And she's like, go for it. I didn't tell her what my feelings were at the time, but it was still like, I still had that nervousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's great that you're representing us. That's super cool. And I would love to get more representation on the podcast. If anybody wants to talk with me or put their story out there, please come find me. Come talk to me. I would love to get that out there. And I would also love to maybe post your picture on the Instagram stories. I mean, I will whenever I put this thing out.
A bunch of pictures. I'll send, you know, nice and casual like this, or, you know, we can get sexy, baby.
Oh, let's get sexy.
I have a bunch of those.
As long as it didn't get flagged and taken down, I'm okay with it. Okay. Yeah, that's cool though. I totally get the representation thing. My sister, she's always dated black dudes. And my nieces and nephews are all, you know, they're all mixed. So I totally get where you're coming from. And
tell her I said thank you.
Okay. Will do. But yeah, it's there's another person that I met through the CrossYoss Discord named Joy, and I'd love to get Joy on here. Joy is doing a lot of cool stuff and she needs to get her story out. So I think it'd be another great representation. She's a bit young. She was, for a long time, she was the youngest person on the Discord. Probably still is. But she's definitely underrepresented, just like you say.
Will you get, when we, after this, you have to give me the information to Discord so I can add myself to the Discord. Or you can add
for
me.
Sure.
In fact, I have to set up a Jasmine Discord. I have the male side, but I have to add Jasmine.
Okay, yeah. I think you can even do like profiles or something now, so you can kind of separate them if you had, just wanted to be on the same account. But it might even be better just to have them a separate account. I don't know. It's up to you. But I'll definitely get that to you. For any other listeners that want to join the Discord, you can go to the crossyaspodcast.com and scroll to the bottom right-hand side. There's a link. Or you can reach out to me, and I'll send you a link, too. But I will definitely send you a link, because I think you'd be a great addition. Everyone there is super, super nice and friendly, and it's a really great, supportive place.
That is awesome. You know, it's funny, because when I first got into this whole cross-dressing thing, I was going to, like, I remember the first couple groups I'm going to take you back. Yahoo groups.
Oh, shit.
So that's where I first, like, start trying to reach out to people like me, because I thought I was alone. Like, I thought something was wrong with me. I thought that I was a freak. And the thing was, I was looking for more black cross-dressers. I'm like, looking, and I couldn't find any. Kept finding white cross-dressers, Hispanic cross-dressers, Asian cross-dressers. That's cool, but great conversations with all of them, but you can't relate to a lot of things I'm going through at the moment. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to people who have these feelings that I'm having because of our culture. And like I said, I ran into my friends on Kick and Instagram and FetLife, you know, and it's funny because we talked about going to, like, my friends, they've been to, was it TG Wildstyle?
Okay, yeah.
They've been out there. They've done a few of those. And when I go on the website, you never see them on there. Like, you see all these other women, but you never see my friends. We're all black. And I was like, what? That's crazy. You see them here and there. So I'm not taking Wild Style. Don't get mad at me. I'm just, you know, I'm not saying that you didn't put on purpose. Don't take it that way.
I'll say it. Wild Style, you need to get your shit together and put some more representation out there so people can see it.
You see them in the background, but they weren't in the forefront, if that makes sense.
Yeah, bring them up front.
And I was like, we need to start our own, like, black, you know, wild style, or wild, whatever, our own TGYL. And it's funny, because actually I went to Atlanta for my birthday this past year, April. And my friends all live in Atlanta, and we all got dressed up and went out, and it was a blast. And I was like, we need to do our own, like, in Vegas, like, get a bunch of girls, at least 20 to 30 of us, and just fucking take over. Because all my friends are gorgeous. Like, all of them. I'm not embellishing anything. Like, they're just gorgeous. And we would tear it up.
I'd love to see. Do you have any pictures? I'm sure there's pictures. A group of cross-dressers, of course, there's pictures.
Yeah, I have pictures. I'll send them to you. I need to post more of them. I have them, you know, but I just never, for some reason, I never posted them. I don't know why, but yes.
I know I usually feel weird about, like, if I take pictures with people, sometimes I feel weird about, like, posting their pictures or whatever, if they're, like, with me.
Well,
just all like a... So that's, I don't know, like, as a privacy thing, maybe, for myself? Or for them, even? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't post pictures of friends who don't post pictures of themselves. But my friends who are, like my, when you get a chance, go to my friend Chanel page. She's on my friends list. Go to, gorgeous. I'm talking about it, like, night and day. Like, total transformation. And I mean, when she gorgeous. That's all I gotta say. Like, gorgeous. I get jealous. Okay. I'm like, gosh, she's gorgeous.
I'm about to look her up. Look up all your friends.
Oh, I'll send them all so you can stalk them.
Okay. I'm definitely gonna stalk them. I'm gonna follow every single one of them on my personal account and the podcast account.
You have to send me your personal account. I don't have it.
Okay, I will. I'll say it, but I'll definitely send it to you. My personal account for anybody that needs to reach out to me or whatever, wants to do the podcast or just talk to me, it's on Instagram at Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E, Rain, R-A-I-N, 4, the number 4.
Gotcha.
You found me.
Hello.
Yeah.
You are gorgeous. Yeah,
if any of your friends want to come on here, I'm more than happy to bring them on. Because, like I said, I'd love to get more representation out there. It's, everyone has a story to tell, and they deserve to be told.
Well, I'll tell them. I know one of my friends, she did do it. We call her Godmother. Why can't I think of my father? Why can't I think of my name? Give me a second. It was a long time ago. Why can't I think of my name? This is bothering me because this is Godmother. Give me a second. I feel bad because this is Godmother we're talking about. Barb. She did it. I want to say she did it not with you. She did it with Gazelle. Mm-hmm. I want to say 2 years ago. But it was
okay.
It was voice.
Yeah, I've been trying to get more video stuff out there. It's the video stuff is typically, I always ask for permission, you know, if it's okay to do video or to put the video out, but I like to have the video call that week just for like social cues and stuff. But yeah, I like having the Instagram account, but I like having like the YouTube stuff out there too, because that just pushes the word out there more.
I haven't started YouTube yet. Thinking about doing one. I was thinking about doing a cigar and whiskey YouTube, or start something on Instagram where I just talk about cigars.
Okay. Did you like reviews or?
Say that again.
Would you do like cigar reviews or just?
I love cigars. Cigars and whiskey.
What kind of cigars are your favorite?
Right now, I like a good Nicaraguan or Honduran. I want something deep and dark. That was no pun. But I do like something deep and dark. I like heavy smokes. I like something that I can just meditate to. Like cigars were used for meditation before it was colonized by the Spanish when they came down to Central America. Like cigars were used by the natives as it gave them strength, it helped them focus. When the Spaniards came down to Central America and they see these natives with these big bundles and they're puffing from them, the Spanish were thrown off. They're like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, this tobacco, because they didn't know what tobacco was, like it gives us strength, it helps us feel good, it helps us focus, they meditated with it. And so the Spaniards, then they tried it, and they were like, can you make them smaller? And that's how the cigar came to be. And they took it over to Europe, and the only people, why it was considered a luxury, because the ones who took it over there were the noblemen. So when they went over, that's why cigars became a luxury.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's cool. So do you participate in like the meditative aspect of cigars?
So I like to do a thing where I just sit back and I turn on something on YouTube and I just literally just puff away, and I have my whiskey, and I just think about the day and what I could do differently. And I wouldn't say it's an out of body experience, but it helps me focus on what I want to do.
Hmm.
So okay. That's what I love cigars.
I don't think I've ever really smoked like a real cigar. Like, I think probably the closest thing I've had is like back a long time ago when I was in a band, we'd have like celebratory Black and Milds.
Oh, well,
I'm sure those are really shitty.
I had a partner at work. He always had a Black M album all the time. That was his name, Black M Miles.
And we'd always get the wood tips. That's how you know we were fancy.
Yes, you're only fancy with the wood tips.
We'd have our wood tip Black M Miles and our Miller High Life.
Ooh.
Champagne, you know, and beers, you know?
It's funny. I actually, you know what beer I actually start enjoying, even though it's like the PBRs. I actually like PBRs, but it's hot outside and I'm doing work around the house. And I just grab a cold PBR and just down it.
I like a PBR. PBR is pretty good.
See, the thing with, okay, so I'm a bougie bitch. And, you know, I like my whiskeys, I like my tequila. My beers, they're usually IPAs or something that's, you know, it's not Miller High Life, it's not Coors Light, it's, you know, Revolution or it's Goose Island, you know, those are the beers I drink. But every once in a while, with my meal, I want a PBR or a Miller Lite or a Bud Light. Like, I like those beers. So I'm not bougie all the way, and that's the problem. That's the only reason why I don't have as much money as I should, because I'm always smoking cigars, drinking whiskey. I always got to get the best things, the boobs. It's...
How much for cigars, typically?
It depends. Like, there are some good cigars out there that cost anywhere between $15 to $25, $30.
Oh, dang.
And I love, and it's funny, the best cigars I smoke cost around $8-$9.
Interesting.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like a good Padron. Padron runs you anywhere. A good one runs you anywhere between $22 to $30. I like the 1946 Padron. That's anytime I'm celebrating anything or, you know, it's a special time, I go get a Padron because to me, that's a special time. I'm not saying maybe I have a hookup on Cubans. I'm just, you know, maybe, you know. But I like a good Cuban if I get my hands on some. And the thing is, Cubans are great, but there are way more good sticks out there that are actually really, really good.
Oh, okay.
So, but
I said, is it just good. One of those they're popular because it's like hard to get by?
Pretty much, like, people want things that is hard to get by, so they can go, I got this. Okay, and like I said, I rather smoke, and like I got in my humidor right now, I got a bunch of sticks that cost $6-$7, and they're better than a Cuban.
Okay,
don't get me wrong. There's some good Cubans out there. Like they're like when you, it's like smoking butter. It's like so smooth, and it's just like
smoking butter.
Yeah, like this smoking up the Henke, which is Cohiba, and Beneke, and it's a Cohiba. And you gotta be careful because there's so many fake Cubans out there, but my, you know, but like I said, I make sure I get the right ones anyway. And it's a really good smoke. Like this one I'm smoking because I'm enjoying our conversation. This one is not gonna put me to sleep, but after I'm done with you, I'm gonna go get my heavy smoke, I'm gonna go get my other good whiskey, and I'm gonna sit down and go into a trance.
Oh, dang. Trance, huh? Sounds cool. Do you listen to, like, music or anything when you're getting into, like, trance mode?
So, like, as I've gotten older, I've been enjoying jazz a lot more. I've been into, like rap wasn't... It's funny. I didn't start getting into, like, hip-hop until I got older. Like, I didn't start listening really to Wu-Tang until, like, 5-6 years ago. Okay, I did, but what I like to listen to is lo-fi or chill hop.
Okay,
where it actually originated was with a guy, Mujabes, Japanese guy, and he started it. And where I first heard it was on an old anime called Samurai Champloo. Love that.
Sounds familiar.
And, yeah, beautiful anime. It was hip hop mixed with jazz. Like that was the soundtrack, and so that's what I actually fell in love with. I've always been into like old school R&B because my mother, down, classical music. I was raised on classical music. I was raised on contemporary jazz, smooth jazz, There used to be a channel out here in Chicago called 95.5, WNUA 95.5, and it had the greatest jingle in the world. Like,
oh, can you please sing the jingle? I'd love to hear it.
You put me on the spot. Okay. WNUA 95.5. Ooh, that was the jingle.
Oh, beautiful. And beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Either it was singing or it was done by an instrument. So it was one of those, like every time I hear the jingle, it takes me back when I used to be my family. So I always pull up on YouTube every once in a while when I want to feel nostalgic. I'm a very nostalgic type person. Mm-hmm. So not just with music I listen to a lot of like nostalgic stuff. I'm going to tell you what to do. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Texas.
Did you say Austin?
It's near Austin. It's a small city called College Station.
Okay, so what channels would you pick up? Was it from Austin?
We had our own stations, but probably we'd pick up maybe Houston. Houston's a little closer.
Okay, so one day, maybe even tonight, while you have a little sip, go on YouTube and type in 1990 commercials from Houston, Texas, and just look for the one that's like 20-30 minutes long and click on it. Mm-hmm. And it will put you into this nostalgic trance, and you'll just be like, and you'll just feel this warmth, and you just kind of just sink in, and you'll watch. You're like, oh my God, I remember that restaurant. Oh my God, I remember that store. And it will take you back. So a lot of times when my anxiety kicks in or my depression, I turn that on and it brings me right back.
Okay. I'll do that. There's definitely commercials that like I remember and stick out in my head. There was one for, it was a car lot in Tomball, Texas. And there's like these kids there and they're like, come on down and play with us. Come see Pawpaw.
That sounds kind of creepy, but I get it. If you ever
get a little creepy.
You know, for a black person, we don't go down to those kind of commercials because, you know,
you don't want to go see Pawpaw.
But I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance, do that. And that's for anybody out there, whatever city you were from, just type in such and such commercial, whatever time you were raised in. Like me, I was born in the 80s. So I remember a lot of the 80s, but majority I remember the 90s. So whatever you remember the most, just type it in. And I guarantee on YouTube, I guarantee you'll fall into some nostalgic trance and just like, I needed that.
Definitely do that later, for sure. There's another one I always remember. It's very country where I live, so. There's this one, it was like a mattress store, and this kid, his name's Marshall Dillon. He's like, I guarantee you buy a bed from me, or my name ain't Marshall Dillon.
Oh my God. So
apparently he got beat up in school because he wouldn't give up his lunch money or something. But
for us, Chicago, like moo and oink, if you like moo and oink, it's crazy. Then you have Andreana Furs. Like you always heard Andreana Furs around Christmas. Like Andreana Furs always talked to him around, we have this great sale. And it's just like, yeah, okay. Like Andreana Furs, Moon Oink, Bob Worldman, he was a car salesman. It's like these things that pop up, it's just like, boom, I'm in another world. I'm a kid again. And in fact, after I'm done with you, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. If you find any that you like, share it with me, please. I'd love to partake.
Girl, you and I are gonna chat after we're done with this, and you and I are gonna chat. We're gonna, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see. So you mentioned you go to therapy or maybe did. I don't know if you still do.
Yes.
How has that been for you?
So my line of work, what I'm in, I'm a first responder, we'll just say that. And I have seen some of the worst of the worst when it comes to humans. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was bothering me. I thought I was okay. And about my fourth or fifth year on the job, I'm at a red light, something like that. It was a red light. The next thing I know, my heart was just beating like crazy. And then I'm looking around and I'm like, what's about to happen? I thought something bad was about to happen. Like I was worrisome. Like, and my senses went into like, I went to like this ultra vigilant mode, and then it went away. I got home and I told my wife about it, and my wife was like, you just had an anxiety attack. I'm like, oh, it's like, yeah, you did. I was like, no, I didn't. No, you're crazy. I didn't get that. So a couple weeks later, same thing happened, but this time it didn't last for like 30 seconds. It lasted for like 8 hours. And yes. I'm like, what is wrong? So it got worse over a year. It kept getting worse. And then it got about 2 years I dealt with it, and I became a totally different person. I was very mean. I was lashing out to people. I just wasn't a nice person. And then one day I snapped at my wife. She just asked me to do something around the house, and she's like, you know what? If you don't get help, I'm leaving. And I kind of like my wife.
Yeah. So you married her. I hope you liked her.
Yeah, so I kind of was like, okay, all right. So I lied and said I used. I didn't lie. I did talk to somebody at my job about it, who is like a peer support.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't therapy. I only talked to him like once or twice, and that was it. And then, but it got worse. And then one day my wife's like, we're going to go for marriage counseling. Oh, okay. So we get to the therapist, and then this therapist gives me this thing of, oh, your insurance doesn't cover marriage, but it covers single therapy. And my wife's like, oh, okay, you know what? Why don't you guys get started with a therapy session? I'm going to leave. And she left. I'm like, and I went to the therapy session. After I left, I was like, this bitch tricked me.
She totally planned that.
She tricked me. I'm like, hold on.
That was part one of my curious convo with Jasmine. Quite a cliffhanger there, I think. So stay tuned next week for part two. And if you enjoyed Jasmine's story and would like to share your own, or would like to connect with myself, Giselle, or many of the other previous Cross Yas guests or listeners, you can find us on the Cross Yas Confidential Discord, which can be found on the crossyaspodcast.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and it maybe struck a chord with you or made some sort of difference for you, please share it with your friends. Chances are they might enjoy it too, or might help them out. So yeah, anyway, bye. Hey, just a quick reminder, I'm not here to diagnose or treat anything. I'm just here to share my story, have others come on the podcast to share their story, to help you learn about the world of cross-dressing, sexuality, and gender a bit more.